Thank you. And
once again, a warm welcome to you to our service here at Metropolitan Baptist Church. Let's take our Bibles and turn to the book of Genesis. Genesis chapter 30. Genesis chapter 30. Genesis chapter 30. We're going to continue our study on the life of Jacob and his two wives, Rachel and Leah. That in itself tells you there are problems. And there are some real interpersonal relationships, interpersonal struggles, I should say, within this love triangle. And so far we have studied the fact of envy there in chapter 30, verse number 1. We have noted that much in the area of interpersonal relationships or problems within relationships stems back to envy. And also we studied in verse number 2 the issue of anger, wanting to take control of a situation. Anger is another reason why you and I often struggle in our relationships, simply because we want to have control, and in order to control we get angry as a means of trying to gain control. Or the reason why we can't control and we get angry. Last Sunday morning, you might recall, for those that were here, we noted the issue of a competitive spirit. A competitive spirit. That will also lead to interpersonal struggles. So thus far, we've noted envy, anger, a competitive spirit as means by which people enter into conflict within their relationships, whether it be husband and wife, whether it be parent-child, whether it be just friends, between family members. Often envy and anger and a competitive spirit are the very reasons why we are struggling within our relationships. Now we're going to note some further means of struggle from the life of Rachel and Leah here. Note then verse number 14, please, of Genesis chapter 30. Genesis chapter 30, note then verses 14 and 15. The Bible reads, "And Reuben went in the days of wheat harvest and found mandrakes in the field. And she brought them unto his mother Leah. Then Rachel said to Leah, Give me, I pray thee, of thy son's mandrakes. And she said unto her, Is it a small matter that thou hast taken my husband? And wouldest thou take away my son's mandrakes also? And Rachel said, Therefore, he shall lie with thee tonight for thy son's mandrakes." Let's bow for prayer. O God in heaven, we ask now that your Holy Spirit would be our teacher this evening. In the name of Jesus Christ, we pray. Amen. Well, the Bible teaches us in verse number 14 that it's wheat harvest time, and that would mean it would be May in the Middle East. Wheat harvest normally begins in that May month, so it's wheat harvest time. And young Reuben is Leah's eldest son. At this point, he is probably at least 8 to 10 years old, at least, if about that age. And the Bible teaches us that during wheat harvest, there in verse number 14, that Reuben finds some mandrakes in the field. So Reuben, while he's in the field, he found some mandrakes and he brings them to his mother, Leah. This is simply a young boy picking some flowers for his mother. That's what nice young boys do. They pick flowers for their mother. Well, it so happens that Reuben finds these mandrakes. Now, what are mandrakes? Well, in the biblical setting, they were also known as love apples. Mandrakes have a dark green leaf and carrot-like root, and they have a white and reddish flower, and they smell. They have a beautiful smell and a little fruit like an apple. So Reuben, being a nice little boy, the eldest boy, decides, I'm going to pick some flowers for my mother. So the Bible teaches us that Reuben, in his innocency, picks these mandrakes, and they have a beautiful smell. Ladies like flowers. They like nice-smelling flowers. And in fact, mandrakes are mentioned there in the book of Solomon, the Song of Solomon, chapter 7:13, and the issue of a smell is mentioned there. So Reuben, being a nice little boy, brings some flowers, these mandrakes that have these little fruits on them, to Leah. And then the Bible goes on to teach us in verse number 14 that Rachel said unto Leah, give me, I pray thee, of thy son's mandrakes. Please give me your son's mandrakes. Now, why did Rachel want these mandrakes? Well, within the biblical setting, there are only such things as natural medicines. There were no cosmetic made-up prescription drugs in that day. And it was believed that mandrakes aided fertility. And if you were barren as a woman, well, you would eat mandrakes if you could find them. So it's no coincidence that Rachel sent to Leah, who is still barren at this stage, is not able to have her own children. She said to Leah, give me, I pray thee, give me, I beg you, of thy son's mandrakes. And it's not difficult to work out why, as we've just said. She wanted the mandrakes, hoping that maybe they might help her to conceive and bear children. That's her consuming passion. To have her own children. And once again, we see between Rachel and Leah interpersonal struggles. And the point I want to make first and foremost, that we see here, principle number one from our text this evening that leads to personal struggles, and that is a selfish agenda. A selfish agenda. Why did Rachel want those mandrakes? Why did Rachel want Leah's son's mandrakes? Because she wanted to fall pregnant. She wanted to have babies and babies and babies. She was desperate. She had a selfish agenda. Beloved, this evening, selfish motives within relationships lead to interpersonal struggles. Selfish motives, selfish agendas within A relationship, whether it be husband and wife, whether it be sibling, whether it be just on a friend-to-friend basis, will lead eventually to personal conflict. The reason why Rachel wanted those mandrakes is because she was being selfish. She had no concern for Leah. She didn't have the heart to say, oh, how lovely. Isn't that lovely that Leah's eldest son is bringing his mother some flowers? Isn't that beautiful? Isn't he a nice little boy? No. The Bible teaches us that she begged Leah and said, give me of thy son's mandrakes. Beloved, selfish motives will lead to interpersonal struggles. Selfish agendas. We read that Herod said to the wise men, when you find this king of the Jews, let me know that I might come and worship him. Well, King Herod was lying through his teeth. He had no desire to worship the King of Kings and Lord of Lords. He was out to kill him. He had a selfish agenda. Thankfully, the wise men worked that out. When Joseph was there in Egypt, that he had a position of prominence, and he asked his brothers, how is my father? How is Jacob? And the brothers said, he is well. Well, Joseph's motives were very pure. He had no hidden agenda. And my friend, if you are struggling within a relationship, it could well be because one of you has a selfish agenda. Selfishness leads to conflict. Let's say it together. Selfishness leads to conflict. And the reason why some of us are struggling within our relationship is because we are downright selfish. Selfish. We're just thinking about ourselves. In Philippians chapter 2, verse number 3, the Bible teaches us, Philippians chapter 2, the third verse, it reads, let nothing be done through strife or vainglory, but in lowliness of mind, let each esteem other better than themselves. Oh, there's little Reuben out of the goodness of his heart. Pick some mandrakes for his mother to make her day, to sweeten her spirit. But Rachel comes along and says to Leah, Leah, I beg you, give me of your son's mandrakes. Selfishness to the core. My Bible teaches me in 1 Corinthians 13, verse 5, that charity seeketh not her own. Selfishness is an absence of love. And when there is selfishness, there is conflict. And it could well be, if you are struggling within one of your relationships, it could well be because you are being selfish. Yes, selfish. Selfish. You're a fish. You've been selfish. Yes. Selfishness. Selfishness. It leads to struggle, it leads to conflict because we are being selfish. Why is it that so often children struggle with their parents? It's because selfishness. Selfishness. Why do husband and wife struggle often in their relationship? Selfishness. Selfishness. Why do work colleagues struggle with one another? Selfishness. Selfishness. Selfishness leads to interpersonal struggles. Note the response in verse 15. Are you still with me? Does that make sense? It's in the Bible. Selfishness leads to struggles, interpersonal struggles. Look at verse 15. The next issue. Note how Leah responded. So Rachel said to Leah, Leah, give me, I pray thee, I beg thee, thy son's mandrakes. And she said unto her, Leah said unto Rachel, look at this, is it a small matter that thou hast taken my husband? Leah reacts to Rachel's request and reminds Rachel, Rachel, you have stolen my husband. Leah brings up her past hurts. Now at least 8 to 10 years have passed and it's still a delicate issue for her, obviously. So Leah brings up her past hurts. It was still hurtful to her. What happened concerning Jacob marrying Leah and then Jacob marrying Rachel? And it was obvious to Leah that Jacob loved Rachel. Leah has not let go and forgiven Rachel for what took place in the past. So she brings it up again. And my friend, when we bring up the past, past hurts, it'll only refuel struggles. We say in premarital counseling, halt the past history. Halt the past history. And many struggle within their interpersonal relationships because they will bring up the past. And this is what Leah does. She said to Rachel, is it a small matter that thou hast taken my husband and wouldest thou now take away my son's mandrakes? You've stolen my husband and now you want to take my mandrakes from me? Past hurts. And beloved, we need to halt the past. We must learn to let go and let the dead bury the dead and not re-dig up the dead. Because it only leads to hurt and struggle. And there are many that struggle within their relationships, whether it be in their marital relationships or whether in the workplace or between siblings, because they bring up the past. Oh, you did this to me 105 years ago. Yeah. Beloved, we need to learn to forgive. Be kind, the Bible teaches us. Tender-hearted, forgiving one another as God for Christ's sake hath forgiven you. And there are many that struggle within their interpersonal relations because they have not let go. Let it go! And forgive and move on. Oh, but Pastor, you might be saying, I can forgive, but I cannot forget. Beloved, when you remember, when it comes to mind, you need to say, okay, remind yourself, I've forgiven. And then pray for them. And eventually, that hurt will move towards the back of your rememberer. When you and I revisit past hurts, that leads to interpersonal struggles. Yes, it does. And Leah pulled out her little trump card and said, oh, you stole my husband. And now you're going to steal my mandrakes. Oh, it's on for young and old. So we see a selfish agenda. We see bringing up past hurts. Thirdly, we also see here in verse number 15 an accusative spirit. An accusative spirit. What leads into personal struggle? Selfishness. Bringing up past hurts. And number three, an accusative spirit. Note then verse 15 once again that Leah said, Is it a small matter that thou hast taken my husband? And wouldst thou take away my son's mandrakes also? You've stolen my husband. Are you going to steal from me my son's mandrakes? Accusative. Leah not only brings up the past history, but she accuses Rachel of stealing her son's mandrakes. This is what you've done to me in the past. And you're going to do the same to me again. Now, if you read the passage, Rachel requested the mandrakes from the mother. Didn't steal the son's mandrakes. She did not take them from the child. Rachel said to Leah, "Give me thy son's mandrakes." But Rachel reacts because of her past, Leah reacts because of her past hurts, and, "Oh, you've stolen my husband in the past, and now you're going to steal my son's mandrakes." That's not true. It's not true. Rachel asked the mother, "Can I have the mandrakes?" An accusative spirit. And beloved, when we jump to our own unproven conclusions, it will lead to an accusative spirit. An accusative spirit, an accusative tongue will lead to interpersonal struggles. Leah accuses Rachel of stealing her son's mandrakes, that she's going to steal them. Obviously, Rachel had a bit of zip about her. She was a leader in her own right, and when you read the context here, it seems like Rachel controlled the situation. She had Jacob wrapped around her little finger. So she was a bit of a control monger, this Rachel. And Leah was afraid, "Oh, you're going to control this situation as well, and you've stolen my husband, you're going to steal my son's mandrakes as well." Accusative, accusative. An accusation is a false charge. And falsely charging somebody will lead to conflict. The Bible teaches us in Luke 23:10, the chief priests and the scribes stood and vehemently accused him. That is our Lord Jesus. Be careful of making false charges. Falsely accusing somebody. Because that will lead to interpersonal struggles. You don't care. You did that to get back at me. You're after my... You're against me. Accusative. Accusative. Who's the accuser of the brethren? Well, my Bible tells me in Revelation 12:10, the devil is the accuser of the brethren. So please don't do the devil's work of falsely accusing others, because that will lead to interpersonal struggles. If you have a concern, go to that person and discuss the issue with them. Amen, Pastor. Don't falsely accuse. Don't stand back in your little perch and say, "Oh, you're out to steal my mandrakes. You've stolen my husband, and here you are, you're up to your old tricks again. You're going to steal my mandrakes that my little boy provided for me." What a rotten monster you are, Rachel. To guard our minds against an accusative spirit. The Bible teaches us in 1 Peter chapter 3, verse 16, having a good conscience, that whereas they speak evil of you, as evildoers, they may be ashamed, that falsely accuse your good conversation in Christ. May God help us to maintain an upright testimony. lest we be unnecessarily accused. In 1 Timothy 5:19, it reads, "Against an elder receive not an accusation, but before two or three witnesses." What proof did Leah have that Rachel was out to steal the mandrakes? None. Nothing. It was an accusation. In fact, in verse number 14, the Bible teaches us that Rachel said to Leah, "Give me thy son's mandrakes." That doesn't sound like stealing to me. Accusative spirit will lead to interpersonal struggles. Selfish agenda will lead to interpersonal struggles. Bringing up the past hurts will lead to interpersonal struggles. And then last but not least, note there in verse number 15, manipulation will lead to interpersonal struggles. In order for Rachel to get what she wants, she offers a date night to Leah. Verse number 15. Offers a date night. So obviously Rachel controlled Jacob. And Leah said to Rachel, "Oh, you've stolen my husband and now you're going to steal my son's mandrakes." So Rachel, sharp, she's quick off the mark, said, "Okay, let's do a deal here. You can have a date night with Jacob for the mandrakes." So in order for Rachel to get what she wants, listen to me, what she wants, she offers a date night to Leah. Her personal agenda is fleshed out in her manipulative strategy. See, Leah is craving Jacob's love. Craving it. She knows that she's second best to Rachel. So Rachel takes advantage of that and says, "Okay, you can have a date night with my Jacob for the mandrakes." So puts Leah over a barrel. She's craving the love of Jacob. Rachel's controlling the situation. Master controller. This woman could run Coca-Cola. Leah's craving Jacob's love. And Rachel is saying to herself, "I want those mandrakes. Because I want to have lots of babies. So what I'll do, I'll surrender Jacob for one night. I'll allow Leah to have a date night with my Jacob. Only one night for the mandrakes." So Rachel hires out Jacob to Leah for a price, for the mandrakes. And by the way, note then verse number 18, the Bible teaches us that Leah falls pregnant and she calls this son Issachar. Leah said, "God hath given me my hire. I paid for this child." With a mandrake, Issachar means hire, rental. I paid for this child. So she called the child Issachar. Issachar, I paid for this child. It cost me my son's mandrakes. Manipulation. And beloved, this evening, manipulation leads to interpersonal struggles. Manipulation. Within manipulation, you always have an end goal. And there are two key issues in a manipulative spirit. Are you ready for this? Strategic control. Strategic control. Rachel knew what she wanted. What did she want? What did she want? She wanted that babies. That's what she wanted. As mandrakes, I need some medicine. I need some medicine quick. That's what I want.
strategic control and also deceitfulness is also encompassed in manipulation. Oh, Leah, you can spend a day with Jacob. After all, you're married to him as well. Oh, no. Was that really her spirit? Of course not. Of course not. Manipulation is a human nature issue. Seems common amongst the women folk. The ladies don't take that personally because men tend to, they're not smart enough to be manipulative. Men aren't that smart. They tend to use their power, raise their voices, I'm going to do it. But amongst the women folk, they aren't good in that regard, so they have to more manipulate. Manipulation is a human nature issue. Strategic control, deceit. We see that in Jacob and Rebekah, mother and son. Isaac wanted venison, and Rebekah said, "We want you, Jacob, to be blessed. So we're going to manipulate the situation to get what we want." Manipulation always has an end result in mind. Rachel tried to manipulate Jacob there in verse number 1 of chapter 30, where she said, "Give me children or else I die." But what was Jacob meant to do with that? Manipulation. What is God's alternative? Prayer and trust God. That's God's alternative. "Be careful for nothing, but in everything by prayer and supplication, let your requests be made known unto God." See, Rachel took matters into her own hands. She desperately wanted to have children, and she believed that maybe these mandrakes will help her, will deliver her from a barren womb. So she maneuvers and said to Leah, "Well, Leah, I'm going to give you a date night. This is your lucky day. Yeah, yeah, yeah. You can have Jacob for a day. Have a date night with Jacob for the mandrakes." Manipulation. Manipulated the situation. Leah was craving Jacob's love. And obviously Rachel controlled Jacob. She was a dynamite. Yes, she was. I can imagine, small, petite, but full of power. And she controlled Jacob. Oh. And she said to her elder sister, this is big sister Leah, "You can have him for a night, thank you. For the mandrakes." Pretty good, isn't it? One night. 24 hours. Manipulation. Manipulation leads to interpersonal struggles. So we see within this passage of Scripture, we see a selfish agenda. We see bringing up past hurts, and we see an accusative spirit, and we see manipulation. All of these lead to interpersonal struggles. Just like envy, anger, and a competitive spirit, all the above lead to interpersonal struggles. And all of these responses lead back to a root problem. And what's the root problem? I believe the root problem is simply this. There was an absence of love between these sisters. There was an absence of love between these sisters. This was the core problem. If they truly loved one another, and they demonstrated that love one towards another, they would not be struggling. Would you agree with that? The Bible teaches us love covereth a multitude of sin. Love has three levels. It has a physical level, i.e., I love pizza. This is what we say also in premarital counseling. Okay? Personal appetites. I love pizza. Well, then you've got the next level, which is the phileo kind of love, which is a brotherly love. And we would make statements like, I love my dog. I'm attached to my dog. I have some emotions for my dog. And then the agape, unconditional, God-like love would say, I love my wife, as Christ loved the church. And if these sisters would reignite their love one for another, it will take care of all of these interpersonal struggles. They did not love one another. There was envy within the relationship. There was anger within the relationship. There was a competitive spirit within the relationship. There was selfishness within the relationship. There was a bringing up of the past hurts within the relationship. There was an accusative spirit within this relationship. And there was manipulation within this relationship. All of that spells what? A lack of love. The absence of love. My friend, the Bible teaches us the love of God is shed abroad in our hearts by the Holy Ghost. And if we wanted to have harmonious relationships, then we need to love one another as God loves us. We need to practice 1 Corinthians chapter 13, which teaches us how to flesh out biblical love. We have interpersonal struggles because there is an absence of love. We do not love that individual as we ought, whether it be on a friendship level, phileo love, or whether it be on a marital level, this unconditional sacrificial love. When there is an absence of love, there are personal struggles. It's not complicated. In 1 Corinthians 13:13, it reads, now abideth faith, hope, charity. These three. But the greatest of these is charity. When there is an absence of biblical love, when there is an absence of phileo love, brotherly love, and agape love, unconditional love, between husband and wife, between child and parent, between friends, between work colleagues, between siblings, there will be conflicts. See, it would seem on the surface that the issue was the mandrakes. On the surface, but that's not the real issue. The issue was there was an absence of love between these two sisters. They didn't love one another as they should have. They were selfish, accusative. Manipulative. All of this is marks of a lack of love. The issue was never the mandrakes. The issue was never the mandrakes. The issue was an absence of unconditional love. And my friend, if you're struggling within your interpersonal relationships, mark my words. The problem is probably not the problem. The problem is an absence of God's love. An absence of God's love. If we only had more time, we would look up passages of Scripture that deal with the issue of God's love. Hatred stirreth up strife, the Bible teaches us, for example. But love covereth all sins. And you and I need to be filled with God's Spirit that we might love one another as we ought. And through that, God will help us to remedy those interpersonal struggles. So if you're struggling within a relationship, if you're struggling within your home in some way, if you're struggling within a relationship with a brother or sister in Christ or a sibling, a work colleague, let me tell you why you're struggling. There's an absence of love. There's an absence of love. God's love. Unconditional love. At least the very basis of phileo love. That's what was absent between Rachel and Leah. They were in competition one with another, were they not? They envied one another. What is that? Selfishness. That's not the love of God. May God help us to love one another. And may God help us to restore our relationships one with another by loving one another, by being filled with the Spirit of God and loving one another as God loves us. And all of God's people said, God bless you. Let's